The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
Great Wednesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com on AZ Central Sports and, of course, White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sesmatt. Luis Gonzalez is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Diamondbacks legend is in Tampa. He's being honored today by the Tampa Bay Sports Hall of Fame. There's that. And, of course, with Bronson Arroyo showing up at camp today for the Diamondbacks, I want to talk to Gonzo about that. And the new-look roster heading into Cactus League play, Luis Gonzalez, here shortly. Eric Musselman will be with us on today's show, ASU Associate Head Coach. We are Arizona-centric on this show because we have ASU and U of A on a Friday night. The game is sold out, we understand. It's very good news. And when you face the number two team in the nation, even if it is your arch rival and it's Valentine's night, that's good to hear that it's a sold-out game. But how do you defend against Aaron Gordon and McConnell and Nick Johnson and all that? We'll talk with Eric Musselman, break that down. A lot on my mind today. Some cool stuff here in the state to get into. So I was watching LeBron James last night, and the whole LeBron mania the last 48 hours in the Valley, it was kind of the perfect storm. The Heat played a game up in Salt Lake City against Utah on Saturday night. So they came into town. I'd heard from some establishment owners that, yeah, LeBron James bumped in and Birdman and some other Heat players. I'm guessing Dwayne Wade must have been bumping around Scottsdale because he had a Scottsdale night. I have a migraine. I can't play against the Suns.
Great, though, Brad, not to interrupt you, but he looked great at practice.
Yeah.
On Monday.
He had his phone going good Monday at practice.
Yeah, they had the little LeBron James dunk competition other competition, nor should there be. But, yeah, right. He looked fine. He was in his practice gear. I don't know what happened
in 24
hours.
Must have been a Scottsdale night. Had to have been.
Probably.
Couldn't even make it to the arena. I'm going to stay here at the Four Seasons, and then I'm going to have a car take me to the private jet because we have to play Golden State. And I just have a migraine. I can't play.
The arena lights can be really bad when you have
loud.
A migraine. It can be.
It's very loud. We understand. And LeBron said some pretty interesting things that we'll get to. And let's do it right now. Eric's got a Facebook question of the day that we're going to tie in a little bit later in the show because it's part of the show. Here's what's on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains where the winter games come heck or high water or next week. Snow's going to fall. They've had some snow that's fallen. Hope that they get some more snow. They're going to have the Mountain Mutt Contest. They're going to have everything that you'd want at the Honda Resort Casino for the winter games. That's there for you. Of course, the Sunrise Ski Resort, where you can head on up to the slopes, enjoy your weekend, enjoy during weekdays getting up there. They're making snow at sunrise and stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. Eat some great food, play some games, have some fun. That's all at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top. They've been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. All right. Last night, I actually watched an NBA game from start to finish. Regular season NBA games can be painful, absolutely painful. The Suns, it's somewhat of a pleasure to watch them play because they actually play the game with some interest, with fluidity. It's not like a lot of games you sit there and watch. I found myself watching Portland and Oklahoma City last night a little bit too. And it was not a bad game. But it was nothing compared to watching LeBron just absolutely put on a show last night.
Now Dragic, 10 of the shot clock, drives inside, pass intercepted. LeBron with a free one, showtime. Oh, a windmill right-hand jam, King James.
Imagine being the play-by-play voice of the Heat versus being the play-by-play voice of the Bobcats. You actually look forward to going to the games. Because,
or the Sixers, Brad, judging from what the Sixers did on their L.A. road trip.
that's right. Because there was more LeBron showtime last night.
Ed DeMars up top, intercepted by LeBron. LeBron against Dragic, right-hand jam, right in Dragic's face. LeBron emphatically slams it home, and the Heat by 7.
Yeah, that's not a bad gig if you can get it. Here is LeBron after the game.
The energy and effort that we had defensively. I mean, we had 12 steals, so that let us know that we was very active defensively. And when we're active like that, we're a pretty good team.
So here's the thing. Yeah, we're pretty good. Here's the thing. They didn't have their second best player on the floor last night. They kind of toyed with the Suns. The Suns made it a game at times, and then the Heat just buckled down defensively. This is not an offensive thing about, ooh, look at the windmill slam and all that. That's the easy stuff when you're talking basketball. The hard stuff is getting after it defensively. And the Heat just said, Goran Dragic, you're not going to beat us. The rest of you guys can go get your points. PJ Tucker, knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. It's fine. The final margin was 6. It could have been 26. You're going to say, oh, moral victory. There's no moral victories. You lost. The Heat are the defending champs. They looked like it. They didn't have Dwayne Wade. LeBron had 37. LeBron could have had 57 last night if he didn't pass so much. Here is Jeff Hornacek on his team down the stretch.
Going in the beginning of fourth quarter with the three-pointers, we had a couple breakdowns in our rotations. And then obviously at the end, that was a big one where I think it was a turnover. Goran threw it and LeBron stole it, and we got a breakaway, 2 free throws.
Yeah, and look, first half of the season's over. Suns very pleased with where they are, but the Heat are the defending champs. It was a nice night to actually take in an NBA game from start to finish. Here's the thing on LeBron, though, and I wrote about this in my column over on Sports 360 AZ. Why is it, somebody please fill me in here, why is it that when LeBron James is going to be a free agent next year, that nobody ever wants to make the case for our city? You're going to accuse me of being a homer on this one, and that's fine. Yeah, I live here. I kind of like it here. And yet I've seen star players come rolling through our city and have great careers. One of them, Larry Fitzgerald's in a spot where he will probably finish his career here, but you never know, the whole contractual thing. I think Larry Fitzgerald's done fine with his brand nationally. Jerry Colangelo is building the Olympic basketball facility in downtown Tempe. It's already started happening. It's at the corner of University and Mill. And it's going to be dynamic and a game changer. Basketball and Tempe, Phoenix, are going to become synonymous. The hub of basketball, the U.S. Olympic basketball team, will be training in Tempe. The under-19 teams will be training in Tempe. Jerry Colangelo has, obviously, a ton of influence. He's not associated with the Suns anymore, but if anybody was going to make a pitch about how great it is in Phoenix, I understood LeBron had a great time out in Scottsdale. Who doesn't? I've seen star players come here. Charles Barkley still lives here in Phoenix, and he's doing fine for himself. I see where there's other star players that have come here. Randy Johnson still resides here. Can you win a title in Phoenix? Well, yeah, if LeBron's here, suddenly you're on a whole different plane. Do you have draft picks here in Phoenix? Absolutely. Do you have cap space here in Phoenix? Absolutely. So why is it we don't make more of a case and say, hey, LeBron, look at us over here. We want you to come here. We're trying to get a star player. Kevin Love, there's another big name that's out there that in a couple of seasons. Everybody says he's destined for LA. Well, let's look at Phoenix. I get a little perturbed when it's just that, well, he'd never come here. No, I don't accept that. Call me wrong on this. I want every big name to consider coming to Phoenix because we have a lot to offer here. And I think the Suns are in a perfect position. I think they're in a perfect position to go pursue a big-time player. And it's going to happen at some point. Luis Gonzalez on the other side. We're going to talk about LeBron's Mount Rushmore comments. If you haven't heard those, I'll bring those to you. Eric Musselman in about 15 minutes on ASU U of A. And why the Olympics are dry. There's not an ounce of alcohol being served in any venue in Sochi. I saw the U.S. women's hockey game earlier today. They got hosed. I'll get into that too. Brad Sussmat with you. Sports360AZ.com and AZCentralSports.com, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, Luis Gonzalez is next.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ. Of course, AZ Central now carrying the show as well. Appreciate the Arizona Republic and what they're all about with us, Mark Hyland and their group, and White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Luis Gonzalez joins us now for a couple of minutes, Diamondbacks legend in Tampa. He's in that stage in life now where he gets honored. Not as a player, for what he's doing on a daily basis. How many Hall of Fames are you in now?
I don't know. It's just an honor just to be recognized, especially in my hometown where it's so rich in baseball community that it's just nice to be home.
So it's the Tampa Bay Sports Club Hall of Fame. Last month you went into the Latin American Sports Hall of Fame. This one, though, as you said, it's local. Who are some of the names that fans would recognize? Because you're right, there's a lot of guys from the Tampa area that have done not just baseball, but all sports that you're going to be joining.
Well, there's about, I'm sure, a couple that many people would know. Two in particular, Tony La Russa, Lou Piniella, Steve Garvey, Wade Boggs, Tino Martinez, Fred McGriff, Dwight Gooden, Gary Sheffield.
Jeez.
I mean, the list goes on. And then we all grew up, and it's really odd because we all grew up in the same community. A lot of us played against each other. And, you know, when you were a young kid growing up, you wanted to be the next hot kid, hot player to come out of here and represent this community.
So when you were growing up, who was the hot guy that you wanted to be like?
Well, I tell you, my sophomore year, Dwight Gooden was a senior, and we were facing him, and that, you know, right after he graduated, of course, he went directly to the major leagues at 19 years old, and he had a huge impact on the majors. So guys like Wade Boggs and Fred McGriff, Dave Magadan was another one. When I was in Little League, my parents, I was, you know, 10, 11, 12, and they were older a little bit, 15 years old. They were sending me to the bigger field after my game to go watch those two left-handed hitters, in particular to watch them hit. And lo and behold, those guys had long careers in the major leagues, so they had a good keen eye for looking at talent to who they thought was going to be a guy that I would want to mold my career after.
Luis Gonzalez with Brad Susmat. Okay, so Dwight Gooden, how did you do against him when he was a senior and you were a sophomore?
If I had to guess, I probably did better against him in the pros than I did in high school because he was very dominant. And I was a very young and skinny kid that the bat probably weighed more than I did when I was a sophomore.
And you and Tino Martinez were on the same teams, right?
We were, correct. He was the first baseman. I played second base.
You were second baseman. Neither one of you pitched?
No, we didn't. Here when you're there's only a couple players that have, become pitchers, like multi-position guys. Usually here in these leagues, when you play a position, that's the position you're going to play.
So, Luis, I'm curious from this standpoint. You've been involved in youth baseball out here, yourself and your brother. You're back in Tampa where it's a hotbed back there. Is Arizona baseball for kids getting there, or is there still a long ways to close the gap on a hotbed like Tampa?
I think we're getting there eventually. The thing that's always in need is good coaching. And I think once you get that, you teach the kids how to play the game the right way, how to respect the game, how to respect the other players on the other team, and just to play hard. I think in today's society, kids take things for granted. They don't want to go out and earn things. They feel like, everybody wants the ribbon, a participation ribbon for just being out there. And I think we've gotten away from having the kids going out there to earn what they get. And I think that's very important in today's society.
When you're coaching kids in this day and age, are you finding kids like 6 to 10 years of age that know the game, or is there entirely too much pressure on them just going out to win the game? You know the difference?
Well, I'll be honest with you. With my brother's organization, we teach them how to play the game, and we teach them to win. That's important, too. You want to teach them how to be winners, because when you teach those kids how to play the game the right way, catch and throw is one of the most important things we teach. And once they learn how to do that and they figure out situations and things like that, the faster they grasp on it, the better they're going to become when they reach that high school age and they get to high school and, 60% of the kids don't know how to do double cutoffs and relays and things like that. We try to teach them that at an early age, and they're going to mess up when they're young kids. We understand that. But you keep trying to drill it in their minds, and sooner or later they're going to pick up on it. And then when they get it and the other kids are behind, they feel like they have the advantage.
You know my point, though. It's that fundamentals, because I'll run into guys on Monday that'll say, yeah, we killed this team over the weekend with my 8-9-year-olds, 12-0. Yeah, that's great. And then you go watch them play, and they don't know any of the fundamentals. It's just a parent who's wanting to win games.
Well, yeah, and you know what? And that's the problem that we're running into in Arizona. For example, our 15-year-old team, we play up because these kids have been together for 3 or 4 years, and you start running into the same competition, and you want to challenge these kids. So we end up playing in 16U tournaments, and then we go up and play 18U wood bat tournaments, and the kids are 15, and they're hanging with these kids. And, And that's what you want to see. You want to see them going on the upslope. You want to see them getting better each and every day. But at the same time, they're going to have their challenges. And in baseball, it's, you know, this is a sport built around failure. You fail 7 times out of 10, and you're a 300 hitter, and you're considered successful. It's just the times that you get your hits, the times that you go out there and make those plays, what makes you a superstar and separates you from everybody else.
How young do you believe in wood bats for kids?
You know what? I'm not a real big fan of the wood bats until they get a little bit older, once their bodies start developing. But I'm seeing now more and more of the wood bat tournaments for younger and younger kids. I don't necessarily agree with that, but mm-hmm. I think once they start getting into the high school age, you know, the 15, 16, 17, that's a good age to start doing that. But, you know, a lot of these kids, they see big leaguers and they want to go out there and swing the wood bats and do things like that. So I think that's why you see more tournaments and guys doing that.
Talking baseball, Luis Gonzalez going into the Tampa Bay Sports Club Hall of Fame today on the East Coast with Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. Appreciate Gonzo's time on this. Bronson Arroyo, did you ever face him?
I did, quite a bit. And his agent was my agent when I was playing Terry Bross and Greg Clifton. So I'm excited to have him there. I mean, he's a durable guy, 200-plus innings every time he goes out there, takes the mound. And, you know, he's a sneaky guy. He's going to have his games where he gets hit and things like that. But in the long haul, he's the type of pitcher that you need, because when the bell rings, he's going to answer the call and he's going to go out there and give you 5, 6, 7 solid innings. And when you play 162 games, you're going to need a guy like that to take a little bit of that stress off the bullpen, especially when it comes down to late in the season, August, September, in the dog days, when you need to win some games.
Some of the naysayers have pointed out that he's coming to a ballpark that's not friendly to him. Do you buy into that?
Yeah, and you know what? And Arizona's always been a ballpark that's hitter-friendly, but at the same time, this is a guy, if you look at his career, he finds a way to get it done. He doesn't necessarily have the overpowering stuff, but he nibbles and he goes around the plate, and guys are very great. He'll throw a slow curveball when he has to. He'll put a little bit more on it. He does that with his fastball. Just different things. He's smart. There's a reason why he's been one of the most successful under-the-radar guys the last 5, 6, 7 years in the major leagues.
Archie Bradley, what do you expect from him in spring training?
Well, I know everybody's thinking that he's out of the rotation now because of the signing of Arroyo, but you know, I don't count him out. He's a competitor. He's got that football mentality. I love that about him. He's a hustler. He wants it. He's going to go out there and do everything he can to try to make that team. There's not a lot more that he can prove mm-hmm. in the minor leagues. He's dominated everywhere he's gone. So I'm excited for this kid, and hopefully he'll come out and have a good spring training and put the pressure on the D-backs to see if he can make that rotation.
The player in spring training that you're most looking forward to see for whatever reason is?
I think the shortstop competition is going to be good, but I definitely want to see Archie Bradley, what he does against some big league competition. I hope that he gets to face some A lineups and that he doesn't come in the game, you know, later on when they're, you know, some of the B lineups are in the game. You want him to face the big name guys that are everyday major league ball players and see what he can do against that competition.
Safe travels. Appreciate the time. Congratulations on the event. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Always. Thank you.
You got it. Luis Gonzalez. Always good to catch up with Gonzo down in Tampa, going into the Tampa Bay Sports Club Hall of Fame. Yeah, he and his brother do a lot with youth baseball that's not gotten a whole lot of attention here in the Valley, but I think it's pretty interesting that Luis and his brother do some very good things on the youth level. And I hear from a lot of parents that they're pleased with what's going on with them when they're involved. Sports360AZ.com. Plenty of content. We're Arizona-centric with AZ Central Sports. And, of course, White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. The other side, we'll have Eric Musselman with us. We'll talk some college basketball with the Arizona State Sun Devil Associate Head Coach. The scouting report for U of A and slowing down Eric Gordon and Nick Johnson. U of A, ASU, Friday night in Tempe. The game is sold out, #2 team in the nation, right here in the Valley. That's next with Eric Musselman. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Sports 360 AZ, and of course AZ Central Sports and White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter. A lot of different ways to take in the show. Brad Sussmat with you as you watch it or listen, take it in. Appreciate you jumping on board with us. Thanks again to Luis Gonzalez down in Tampa Bay, going into the Tampa Bay Sports Hall of Fame today. Switching gears now, Friday night, Pump Site Geek, because we have the number two ranked team in the nation coming to Tempe. The first time ASU played down in Tucson wasn't really a fair fight. Jermaine Marshall wasn't on the floor. I felt like ASU was going to get their heads kicked in. They did, but I feel much better about the opportunity for them to get things turned around up here, because U of A is going through some different looks, and I think ASU is a much different team, much more confident than what I saw last month. To agree or disagree with me is ASU Associate Head Coach Eric Musselman, as always, Coach Muss, who has, if you go to his Twitter feed, this is one of those Twitter feeds, it's Eric P. Musselman, M-U-S-S-E-L-M-A-N. This guy puts up more positive energy on his Twitter feed and more basketball insight from great minds every day, so you should give him a follow at Eric P. Musselman. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing great, Brad. Thanks so much for having me on again.
How different is the ASU basketball team that will take the court Friday night from the one last month in Tucson?
Well, I mean, we're a much different team. Obviously, you know, you look at who we started in Tucson, and we'll only start, you know, Jaheed, Jordan, and Shaq at the 1, 3, and 5, and then our four man has been changed in the starting lineup. Obviously, we've gone of late with Eric Jacobson, who gives us a little bit more of a physical presence, and then we bring John Gilling, who started and played 24 minutes in Tucson. John will come off the bench, obviously, Friday night. And then Brandon Kearney played 24 minutes. It's his season high thus far in place of Jermaine Marshall. And obviously, Jermaine is a guy who really stretches the floor out for us because of his ability to knock down the three. And then in late-game situations, because Jermaine's a fifth-year senior, he's a guy that we've really relied on down the stretch of games to make big baskets for us. So we're going to be a little bit different team. The makeup of what we are now is different than it was at that point. At that point, we, you know, after that Arizona game, we were 2-3 in league. So we're a different team, a much more confident team, and a team that obviously has a little bit more momentum going than we did at that stage.
And you've lengthened your bench. Bo Barnes has come in as well. So it, and Jacobson, as you pointed out, you've lengthened your team from early in the year, it seems like.
Yeah, we have. Actually, the Arizona game was really the game that Bo came out and produced. He played 17 minutes and had 13 points, and that game kind of sparked the Bo Barnes resurgence as far as him getting more minutes off the bench. And we need his energy and his enthusiasm. He's not the most talented guy, but he has the ability to knock down three balls, and he really flies around and gives us an identity when he's in the game of a team that's playing hard and playing with great energy.
Okay, so when you're scouting teams, it's my understanding you're the guy that's doing the U of A preparation. Is that how it works with the staff?
That is how it works. We divide it up basically three ways, Brad, yes.
So you're the guy that's been, how many U of A, you've seen every one of their games then?
Yes, yeah, I've seen too many Wildcat games.
So then when you're watching over and over and over, and then the Brandon Ashley injury takes place, how much do you put on the back shelf and go forward from the Cal game for U of A and say, this is the real team that we'll be facing?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we have to do, is we have to, obviously we're going to dissect the first game and look at things that work both offensively and defensively. Having said that, you know, they're a different team, because anytime you take a prominent player off your roster, your identity changes. And you know, for instance, in the first game in Tucson, I mean, Ashley was a guy that bothered us with his length. And so that's a problem. He's a big guy who had 4 assists in that game and 5 rebounds and a double-digit score with 10 points. So they're a different team, because When we faced him the first time and Aaron Gordon was at the small forward spot, well, he's more of a natural college power forward. But when he played the small forward, it creates a lot of matchup problems, because he's such a great rebounder and he's got such great length. So defensively, when they went across their front line with Gordon, Ashley, and Tarzewski, they were really, really long with great athleticism, and their half-court defense was a nightmare to try to score on. Not that it's easy to score on now, because that's not the case at all. Hollis Jefferson is a phenomenal player.
Yep.
They're just not quite as long as they were early in the year with Ashley.
Well, and I think offensively, Eric, when he was on the floor, he was able to stretch defenses on the other end of the floor. He was able to step out and hit that shot. Now they don't have that capability.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, Ashley's a better shooter than Hollis Jefferson, and that is another area in pick and rolls that it changes your coverages as well.
When it seems to me that there's moments, and we saw it in the Oregon game, where ASU is really struggling with full court pressure. And you're going to see that Friday night, right?
Yes. You know, Arizona does a good job of it's more of a man-to-man full court pressure where the Oregon Ducks mix in some zone press as well as man-to-man. But, you know, that was really, and it was really the second half, you know, when we struggled and had a 20-point lead, we struggled with the press. But that really was the first time this year. Usually, Jahi Carson's a one-man press break. And against a team like DePaul on the road that really, really likes to press, you know, we had no trouble with that. And last year when we played Arkansas, a team that thrives on full court pressure, we had no problem whatsoever. So it was a little bit surprising that we struggled the way we did against Oregon's press in the second half. And we have to be alert for Arizona watching that game tape and coming out very aggressively from the start after they score, or more importantly, Arizona's press becomes very effective after free throws.
Because first pass, Gillian would inbound into a corner and you'd get trapped in the corner and the turnover would happen. It seemed like it was one of these, a habit that you haven't had that you ended up getting into for whatever reason, as you pointed out last weekend. But I'm sure you've cleaned it up this week.
Brad, we caught the ball too deep, and that's been, a heavy point of emphasis in our film yesterday as we went through all of our offensive breakdowns against the Ducks. So hopefully we've corrected that somewhat.
What do you make out of Nick Johnson late in games? When you're scouting U of A, and whenever there's a big play, it seems like everything runs through Nick Johnson late in games.
Well, Nick is, it's not just his late games. The thing that to me is so impressive is usually when a team's leading scorer, usually that guy could be a liability somewhat defensively, but it's just the opposite with Nick Johnson. He's their best offensive player, and he's their best defender. He's a guy who, like against us, he had three block shots, and that, you don't see that often at his position. He's a guy who gets steals, he gets blocks, he gets big rebounds. He makes big shots from the three-point line. He's a guy that you can throw lobs to. So, he really is a special player, and I would say he's the MVP of the Pac-12. If you had to pick one as of today, right now, he's the player of the year in my mind.
Yeah, and I would agree with you on that. Talking with Eric Musselman, associate head coach ASU, ASU, U of A, on Friday night in Tempe. The game is sold out, which is great, Valentine's night. And you'll have a chance, if you're a scalper, to just nail it, I'm sure, on Friday night. Let's flip around over on your side of the street. What have you seen out of Jordan Baczynski this season, especially in the last few conference games that we weren't seeing in a consistent fashion? Because he has been consistent, from my view, here recently, Eric.
No, Brad, Jordan's playing well. Obviously, his confidence is growing with each game. Coach Sendek made a very direct message to the team to try to get him more touches, to get the ball inside more to him. In Tucson, he only had three attempts, and we need him to have double-digit field goals attempted. And if you look at the box scores of recent, there's been a lot of games where he's put up significant points on limited field goals attempted. And the thing that Jordan's done an unbelievable job of is getting to the foul line. His free throws attempted have been very high of late. And his percentage, the biggest increase or the biggest jump in Jordan's productivity has been from the free throw line. His percentage has gone up drastically, even from the beginning of this year's Pac-12. Free throw percentage is much improved from where it was non-conference, and that's much improved from where it was a year ago. And a lot of that comes with confidence. And actually, at the end of games right now, he might be our third most consistent free throw shooter.
And I've heard he's moved his way into the NBA draft in the second round. I don't know if you're hearing the same sort of thing, but.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any doubt. You know, even yesterday, again, we had, you know, the Knicks came in, and we continue to have more and more teams come through the building. And a lot of it right now is Jordan has done a really, really good job of developing his game. And people look at him, even though he's an older guy, he does still have a ceiling to grow because everybody is seeing he's continuing to get better. And that's what you want out of a player, especially as people look at the NBA draft. They don't want a player that's plateaued. And Jordan's he's going to get better because his confidence is growing. And you can see, even off the floor, he's a more confident man than he was 6 months ago.
What are you seeing out of Jahi this season? If you were to describe his season, how would you go about describing his season thus far?
Jahi's had a really good year. I mean, he's a guy that every time a team has a shoot-around or 3 to 4 days preparation, he's the centerfold of what teams are trying to do. He's the head of our snake. He's the guy that he's our motor. He's our engine. He's the guy that we rely on. He's the CEO when we're trying to run our offensive sets. So, you know, with increased visibility media-wise becomes a harder thing for a player because everybody in the building, all the fans, all the media, the opposing players, the referees, everybody has their antennas up for the Jahi Carson show. And so it makes it a little bit harder for him to get open three-point shots or dribble drive angles into gaps on the defense because the other five opponents are so focused on what he does when he has the ball in his hand.
I'm sure you've heard the question mark of whether he should come back or not. I put that off to the side. He's going to move on. But what is not being said about him that you think should be said about him?
Well, for his size, he's got such great heart. He's got great athleticism. And, you know, and he's improved as a three-point shooter. You know, I think that the one thing, again, is just, as is with a lot of players, everybody's got different things that they can improve on. And one of the things that I think Jahi has the ability to do is get more steals. He's got great quickness. He's much stronger than he looks. He's got a great upper body strength. And he can, once he figures out gaps defensively and how to shoot passing lanes and then on the ball, because of his great footwork and his quick hands, he's got the ability to be a high steal guy in time.
Before I let you go, what'd you make out of the Marcus Smart story?
You know, I mean, it's unfortunate, and obviously, you know, you never want to see anything like that happen. It's, you know, it's unfair. Everything that you read about Marcus Smart is that he's a great competitor, and you know, obviously, the one thing with players, coaches, doesn't matter if you're in the NBA, CYO, you got to be able to block out the noise. It's not between the lines. The only people that a player really needs to hear are his coaches, his teammates, and the referees. And other than that, you know, you got to block out the noise. And you know, that's important for all of our players. And it's a great learning lesson. I know after that incident happened, I keep a little journal of things that I think are important or that, you know, to do in the future. And one of those things is, you know, talking to your team about preseason, about fans, and what happens and how you've got to control your emotions.
You've heard some things. I mean, I think I would think.
I had Ron Artest, remember, Brad? I've seen a lot of things.
That's
heard
right,
a lot
you
of
did.
Things.
No, and, you've seen
and,
a lot of things.
And I give a guy like Meta World Peace credit because after the Indiana incident, I mean, he is a guy that is, for the most part, the year I was around him in Sacramento, had laser-like focus.
That's good stuff. Stay well. Appreciate the time. As always, thank you.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
Eric Musselman there, associate head coach, Arizona State. Nicely done on that front. So the game is Friday night. I'm actually looking forward to this ASU-U of A game, and I've already tried to lay the groundwork out to go to it, but it's Valentine's. So when you're married, I'm coming up on 25 years this June of being married. You would think that I have enough equity built up, Eric, that I could be able to pull off the, hey, I have to work on Friday night versus... So what are you getting me from Valentine's, which is what I ended up getting asked yesterday?
Well, what you could do is you could be creative and say, hey, you know what? the lines at the restaurants are going to be so long on Friday night. Why don't you and I, let's do happy hour. Let's do like a 3 o'clock happy hour. And then I'm going to send you off around 7 to get a manicure, pedicure. And here's I got you a $100 gift card to the mall. And we'll pick one like Tempe.
What do you think? I made a money? Place. What are you talking about? I have four kids.
Well, if you want to go to the ASU game,
joking?
I have to let you down.
No, I want to go to the ASU.
I know that.
I will take her to happy hour and get her sloshed and put her in a cab.
Have a plan B.
Take her home.
Have a plan B.
I want to be by myself, Valentine's. Valentine's is overrated,
isn't
it?
It's a Hallmark holiday.
I've got four kids. I didn't need Valentine's Day for any of them. I'm fine.
TMI. Continue on.
No, that's...
Continue on. I don't even know where to go from that. So
it's
I'll
rivalry
just let you take
week.
This over.
I understand it's rivalry week.
Say that 10 times. Quick.
I know. And Bill Walton is doing the game with Dave Pasch, who we're big fans of. We can't get Pasch on this show though because he's got some contract something. So he's something that's going on. It's fine. There's not many, but there's a couple that just can't do it. And we'll work on that. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. But we will have Bill Walton on. I hope trying to get him on Friday. It's always good to catch up with Bill. One of my favorite Bill Walton stories, I'll share it tomorrow. Share it tomorrow because Bill and I did games way back in the day when Eric Musselman was at University of San Diego. It involves a teepee in the back of Bill Walton's yard in a jacuzzi the first time I met him, and he wasn't wearing anything, and he was scrubbing his calluses. Is that too much information? Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Stay with us.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
There's just so much good content coming out of the Olympic Games. I've never heard of Tinder. Eric, have you heard of Tinder? It's an app. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.
No,
and
I haven't.
AZ Central Sports. Tinder is basically known as the hookup app on college campuses, the casual sex app. So there's a story out about how these Olympic athletes, this happens every Olympic Games.
Correct.
The story comes out about what do Olympic athletes do for sex. So Tinder is what they're using there, and that there's several Olympic athletes that are on Tinder. I've never been to Tinder, don't know anything about this app on Tinder. I'm going to break apart my daughter's phones tonight because one is in college, one's going to college, and see if they're on Tinder. The Olympic Village U.S. gold medal snowboarder Jamie Anderson told U.S. Weekly that Tinder is where the action is at. Quote, Tinder, Anderson told us with a laugh about the dating app. Tinder in the Olympic Village is next level. It's all athletes. In the Mountain Village, it's all athletes. It's hilarious. There are some cuties on there. I can see it now. Some of you guys at work scrambling to find Tinder. There's that story. Then there's the story about how the Kremlin is really controlling the alcohol that is at the Olympics this year. They do not have alcohol being served in the venues. And so in the indoor ice venues along the Black Sea, drinking options are limited. The lone restaurant in the Olympic Park has a full bar, and alcoholic beer is sold at 2 Coca-Cola food stands. But with non-alcoholic beer on sale, the real thing is hard to find. They have alcohol restrictions going on. Imagine that here in the States, right? When we go to sporting events, part of the rite of passage for some people is just to say, I have a ticket and I'm going to get hammered, which is very unfortunate. That's why we have fan behavior issues going on here. I don't know what the fans were like today as I sat and watched the hockey game this morning, the women's hockey game. They ended up losing. There were at least three calls. Jeremy Roenick was going crazy afterwards. JR's over there doing the analysis. So there were three times where the Canadian women's team had more than the allotted players on the ice. They were doing changes and they had too many women on the ice and they didn't call it three times. There was a goal that was scored. If you haven't seen it, this isn't a spoiler alert. It's just a fact that the Canadians were given a goal that should not have been a goal. We got hosed today. It's against the Americans. I can already hear. They're against us trying to win over in Sochi. So that's on my mind today. There was an interesting mock draft that came out in the NBA that I was looking at. A first round pick run through of the NBA draft. Jahi Carson is nowhere to be seen on that first round mock draft, the latest put up by Chad Ford. I was talking with Eric Musselman earlier about Jahi. And at the end of last year, I had heard that there were some teams considering him on the back end of the first round. We had talked about how Marcus Smart was the name that had been up there in terms of point guards. Marcus Smart now isn't even the first point guard that would be taken off the board this year. He's now projected to be a mid-first round pick. I still think Jahi should go. I don't see where it's going to get any easier for him here at Arizona State. So that's on my mind, too. LeBron James recently was asked about the Mount Rushmore deal. And I don't know if you've heard his context. I've heard some shows that have just talked in general terms about this story, LeBron James and the Mount Rushmore of the NBA. To give you full context, because I do like giving context. I know it's kind of a lost cause or lost art for a lot of shows. It's just, hey, let's just throw something out there and that's it. Here is where LeBron James was sitting down with Steve Smith from NBA TV, and this is what has caused such a furor on the Mount Rushmore of the NBA.
Who's your Mount Rushmore of the NBA? That's four.
Give me four, right?
Four guys.
An NBA present or all time?
All time.
All
four
time?
NBA greats.
Mount four Rushmore, NBA greats?
LeBron, yeah.
I would say, I mean, obviously the easy three that we all talk about in our league, you got Michael Jordan, you got Larry Bird, and you got Magic Johnson. And I would say my fourth, wow, this is so tough. The greatest players of all time that I like to see on Mount Rushmore, this is not fair.
It is fair.
It's not fair.
You
know how many great players it is?
Four. That's why it's called the Mount Rushmore.
Oh, my God. Oscar Robertson.
Oscar Robertson.
Yeah.
So those are your four.
Those are my four.
When you're all said and done, are you up there?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm going to be one of the top fours that ever play this game, for sure. And if they don't want me to have one of those top four spots, they better find another spot on that.
No, it's just four.
Yeah, well, we got to bump somebody. Somebody got to get bumped.
Who are you bumping?
Oh, I'm not. That's not for me to decide. That's for the architects. That's for the architects to chisel somebody's face out and put mine up there.
Now, look, this is going to be one of those debates that has no end to it. And the presidents that are up there. So Mount Rushmore, it took 14 years to carve Mount Rushmore. This is good business for Mount Rushmore when LeBron James is talking about Mount Rushmore. Did you guys know no one died while building Mount Rushmore? How much did it cost to build Mount Rushmore? Cost $989,000 to build Mount Rushmore. Hey, guys, there's a mountain. Go take your chisels and carve out some presidents' faces. Thomas Jefferson was originally started on George Washington's right on Mount Rushmore. However, after 18 months, they realized it wasn't working, so his face was dynamited off. There's some people's faces that should be dynamited off that are on television nowadays. And they carved his face over on the other side. You know, there's a cave behind the carving called the Hall of Records. It was intended to house the story of Mount Rushmore, but they never finished it because they didn't have enough money. So there's my Mount Rushmore. In terms of players on Mount Rushmore, if you leave off the big men is where you really struggle in the NBA. Me, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the greatest big man that I've ever seen. I grew up in Southern California. I didn't grow up in Boston. If you grew up on the East Coast, you probably are going to say Bill Russell. That's just the way it is. So there's never going to be a dead set and cement answer to this question, this debate. You can't bump Magic Johnson off the Mount Rushmore, even though LeBron James looks a lot like Magic in certain ways. In other ways, he doesn't look like him at all. Watching LeBron James last night again, and we don't get to see him except twice a year, once on TV and once here. Watching him last night, there is nobody that's like him. I wish he would walk away and go play for the Miami Dolphins. I think he'd be a lot of fun to watch as a wide receiver. He is so big and so physical, or as a corner or as a safety. He'd have no career, though. He'd get beat up and banged up and be gone. But last night, he could have very easily scored 57, and he just decided to finish at 37 because he was so unselfish. Eric, who's on your Mount Rushmore? Does that stuff matter? It's like when we were doing the whole Peyton Manning, who are your top 10 quarterbacks of all time, and people leave off Dan Marino because he didn't win a Super Bowl.
It's tough.
I mean, come on.
It's tough for you. You did you had it location-based. For me, you growing up in Southern California, for me, it's a generational question. I mean, LeBron, you don't appreciate a player's greatness if you didn't live in the era that he played.
Robertson averaged a triple-double.
Yes, but yeah. It's different.
But
I mean, when
him.
You see, like, when you see LeBron and Durant and all these great current players now, the longer these guys are out of the NBA, some of them kind of lose a little bit of their mystique, for lack of a better word. I mean, of course, we're going to remember Jordan for being great. We're going to remember Bird and Magic for being great. But the older generation of players, like for me, I'm 40. I never saw Will Chamberlain play. I never saw Oscar Robertson play. So, of course, my Mount Rushmore will probably have more of the more modern-day players on it than the past players.
No, I understand that.
And I did a great job of not answering your question because you asked me what are my four. I thought there were five, by the way.
You thought there were five. Yeah. Well, they dynamited off the face of one.
Nice job. Nice job by me.
Four and a half.
Glad I'm not on Jeopardy. I would never win.
Today's Facebook question is LeBron James was recently asked about the NBA Mount Rushmore. So today we are asking you to be the architect. List your five all-time athletes you'd put on an Arizona sport.
Yes, because there's always an Arizona spin. And I do have my five. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Drum roll, we don't have one, so we'll just continue. Number one.
What do you mean we don't have one? We have the budget for a drum roll.
Yes.
Come on.
I suppose.
We don't have the budget for a drum, but we have a budget for a drum roll.
All right, here we go. Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
Jerry Colangelo.
Okay.
Pat Tillman.
Sure.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Right.
Lute Olson. But I'm leaving off.
Charles Barkley.
Gonzo, Sean Elliott, Steve Nash. I mean, that's the great debate. I mean, there's no wrong answer.
Sure there is.
I mean, if you have a Rubio Durazo on your Mount Rushmore of Arizona sports, that's a wrong answer.
Rubio Durazo. Kelly Stinnett. Hey, I got him. He's right there.
If Shannon Brown somehow makes Mount Rushmore, no offense to Shannon Brown.
Shannon Brown.
Player with the Suns, who's now actually doing quite well with the Spurs. But
Elliot Perry.
Sox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we could.
What about yours?
We could have a lot of fun. Well, come on. You're asking me right off the top of my head. Well, Randy'd have to be up there.
Yeah.
I'd have to put Charles on there because he changed the whole face of sports in Arizona.
Agree.
Well, you don't have him on there, so you can't agree with me.
No,
I'm not putting Lute Olson on there.
But again, mine is when I think Arizona, there has to be – have to be an Arizona tie, but look
Pat
at the athletes.
Tillman have to be on that Mount Rushmore?
Because he was great for things other than sports.
Thank you very much. And see, that's what I'm all about. But you have to make a compelling argument because there'll be people that will say Pat Tillman wasn't the greatest NFL player. No, he wasn't the best player at his position, but he was still good.
He was still good, and he made a huge impact off the field.
He made a lot. People will talk about Pat Tillman and his death and the impact, but we saw a lot of what Pat Tillman did. I saw a lot. You know, when we had him on back in the day and he's raising money here and doing money there and didn't want people to know about it, it was not that big of a deal. I mean, there was so much. You're getting me going here on the Tillman thing because there's times where I think if he were to see all the stuff that's going on today, he'd just be shaking his head like, are you kidding me? Like, really? Why? It's just me.
He was a simple guy, though.
Would I put him on a Mount Rushmore? Yeah, I would.
Rode his bike to practice. Climb the light stands at ASU.
Let me think. You can't put, because I'm thinking of the U of A thing, right? So you have to look at U of A and think who belongs up there. Why would Lute Olson be on your Mount Rushmore? That's a lot to carve, by the way, because that's a lot of hair.
You say Charles Barkley redefined Suns basketball.
Yeah.
Lute Olson redefined Arizona basketball. And set the precedence for the tradition that they continue on today.
But you're making
this
sound like a basketball thing.
It's not. I mean, some people would say Shane Doan deserves to be on there.
There wouldn't be that many people that say Shane Doan deserves to be on there, but I could see the argument.
If you're going to put a Coyote up there, it's got to be Shane Doan.
No, you're right. You're right. If you're going to put a Coyote up there, there's just not enough room. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So here's the deal. Yesterday, I had to go to Tucson. I had to go to Tucson on some business. And I'm going to Tucson, and of course, when I go to Tucson, I get into traffic. But here's the thing. Before I left, I set my route on my command center on the Ford Fusion that I'm driving from Santan Ford. And it gives me alerts on traffic so that I actually have an idea of what I'm going to face. Same thing when I make my commute into the studio. Traffic is never good. Yesterday, when I'm in Tucson trying to bump around, and believe me, I'm bumping around on streets that were awful 15 years ago when the Diamondbacks trained down there. They're still awful and haven't been repaired today. But I was able to get around, do my business. I also was able to get around and do things associated with the show and this business too. I'm on the go quite a bit. And so for me to be on the phone or to know where I'm going with navigation makes a lot of sense for me. Gas mileage, drove down there, drove back. Needle moved a little bit, not much at all. It's a lot of comfort that in the Fusion for me. How about you? Can you say that with your comfort and your style and your busy lifestyle with the vehicle that you're driving? Do you feel the same way with as much confidence as I do? Stop on into Santan Ford. Check out that 2014 Fusion. It's a great time. President's Weekend's coming up. Big sale going on at Santan Ford. At Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Sports360AZ.com, or Arizona-centric, stories that we see around Arizona. And then there's some stuff nationally that we check out as well. Appreciate having Luis Gonzalez on and Eric Musselman as well. Eric's got me off kilter of this because I know I'm leaving some names out. I know I'm going to get
hammered on
Twitter.
I have you thinking on it now. I have you thinking about it.
Every now and then I do think when I do this show. Every now and then.
I don't. I thought there were five presidents on Mount Rushmore.
What state is Mount Rushmore in? It's in South Dakota.
That's
don't
easy.
Screw that one
Montana.
Up. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. We're just going down this path, and we're going to say goodbye after this.